اوكي، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين. اللهم لا سهل الا ما جعلته سهلا، وانت تجعل الحزن اذا شئت سهلا. اللهم اعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. السلام عليكم ورحمه الله وبركاته. Hope you guys well, number one. Number two, I hope you guys can see and hear me. We are having a tough day. Tough day, tech-wise, stream-wise, tiredness-wise, long day-wise, everything. So I'm going to need as maximum support from you as much as possible. If you could just tell me how you're happy with the audio, and also the internet has just collapsed, so I'm trying to use a phone thingy, phone connection, an eSIM. And for those who have been Hajj and the thingy, this is World SIM, saving the day, coming out of a thingy. Labib, mashallah, you made it back already. Are you sick, guy? All right, great, mashallah. You know, Bilal. Someone said, I've got so many things to say. Folks, please allow me just a few weaves. This is not a weave. A weave is a legitimate part of the lesson. Allow me a tangent, which is not a legitimate part of the lesson. Okay. Wa alaikum assalam to everybody who's been online for the last 5-10 minutes. I appreciate you all. Okay. I want to say, Bilal, our superstar from NLP and everything. So, so today was a long day. Alhamdulillah, we were able to escape the clutches of the killer of your cousins. Okay. Your cousins. And we were on this long, and because all the borders were closed and everything was closed, it was just a mission. All the borders were closed. You know, subhanAllah, traveling is not just a form of seeking knowledge and learning. It's such a humbling experience, especially in order. Everyone thinks that they can empathize with their brothers and sisters that are going through X, Y, and Z. But there's nothing like actually going through something that they have to go through. And we were just discussing maybe 2 hours ago. Today we proper felt like refugees. Proper felt like refugees that are running from a place. Except that we were pulling very expensive suitcases with high quality wheels. Incomplete safety with nothing falling on our heads. Any children crying. Everyone sick, elderly. Trying to grab as much things as possible, not knowing whether you're going to go back. We had the luxury version. Suitcases across cobbled floors from maybe a kilometer that we're pulling it with absolute silence, absolutely dead, no one around, absolutely any wheels gliding, absolute safety. And when I got to the other side, I was so angry, so irritated, so stressed. And I said, subhanAllah, we're not ready for this. As the chief said the other day, we were having a discussion. He was in Qatar when that bomb hit the Hamas mediator building. He was close by, and he goes, the amount of fear that was caused amongst normal expats and Qataris was off the scale. And he said, he goes, we're not ready for this. You know, like the Palestinians are something special. Their ability to be able to put up and take one for the team continuously, consistently for this ummah, this sinful ummah, this cowardly ummah, this helpless ummah, if I'm being generous, is extraordinary. And he said, we're not ready for this, meaning us, Westerners, rest of the Muslims, whatever we think we are, whoever we think we are, we're not ready for this. We can't deal with it. We can't. And having spent a week in Palestine, in which we have been pushed around, a couple of people have been punched hard, stomachs, this, that, whatever, very aggressive tactics and the like. Alhamdulillah, I didn't get provoked to any level. I wasn't physically touched, actually, not even once. But remarkable aggression, remarkable bravado with a massive machine gun, yani, by your side. Yani, the level of aggression, as I said, complete prohibition on entering the masjid for most of the prayers, unless you go around and play games and all the rest of it. You guys will know Zimarina, who was with us, and she didn't come to play either. So, you know, she was denied as well. Wrote a really excellent piece on Islam 21. See, you would have seen that. Anyway, I don't want to go into all of that because I normally will speak about that in a class somewhere or whatever. There's lots of lessons. I don't know, actually. I don't know. I think all of you know what the situation is like and how important it is for us to keep on coming. It is really, really important for us to keep on coming, especially the Brits. Because, you know, us Brits, we're, you know, I mean, the Americans with us in this trip have been, mashallah. But on the whole, Americans are definitely not ready for this. Brits, I want to say, are about 20% more ready for this. They, you know, they're down for a little bit of aggro. We always like a little bit of beef, you know what I mean? So it's very cheap for us to come. Very, very cheap. You don't wait around for a group. Like, I look at my schedule in 26 and 27. I can't even see a possibility of me coming as in a group capacity. You've got to get this group. There are, you know, listen, Hajj, I told you, you're wasting your time doing Hajj with anybody else other than our program. It's so good. The team is so, so good. It's so levels above anything else. It's just a waste of time doing anything else. MashaAllah, tabarakah rahman. I'm going to be very upfront with that. Our Umrah program is on a different level, no doubt. Aqsa is the greatest experience that any person will have. All the people that are just in the chat now, they've just got back today, and everything else, will tell you that. However, the one thing that I will say with the Aqsa experience is that you've just got sometimes you just got to be brave and put the group amazing buzz, amazing experience aside and go for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alone, with a friend, 2 days, 4 days, 1 day, cheeky little whiz there, cheeky little easy jet. Brits have got very little excuse. We need to do that, man. Masjid was bare. Zionists were taking living advantage of it, living advantage. Yeah, I mean, because there's no one around. And when there's no one around, it means there's empty spaces. When there's empty spaces, then the security threat is diminished so that they can walk through and they can occupy spaces in the masjid. And occupation is the name of the game. Then they're masters at it, but we're also very good at it as well when it comes to the masjid. And the Muslims are experiencing that. The local Palestinians are, the Diabandis, South Africans, they're super experienced. And they know where to position themselves praying in order to cause as much missions and difficulty, you know, for, you know, this, for the Zionists to come on thingy. Excuse my voice, but we're so tired, we're so sleep deprived, but alhamdulillah, but I can feel like my whole body is like dead. And so my mind, it keeps kind of blanking. But I was just going to say that it's important that you don't wait. That's what I'm saying. Don't wait. Any group. Like, when we talk about an experience, like when you go with us, it's an experience which is off the charts because it's not about Aqsa, right? It's Aqsa is the base. And then we're studying all day, reading Quran every day, all day, right? Like, we say that we're going to do Quran for 3 sessions. We end up doing 9 sessions. Tadabbur, debate, discuss. It's so beautiful, yani, to be discussing Quran with people and ideas and, you know, and just everything. And speaking about the prophets and touring around. I mean, but those days are gone for a while. That, yani, that maza, that romanticism of the Aqsa with AE thing, which, like I said, no bones about it. It's the greatest thing you will ever experience in an Islamic event. For me, better than the Hajj. For me, better than the Umrah. Very controversial, but it is what it is. But now you've got to put that to the side. You've got to be brave and say, yeah, that maybe one day, maybe not, maybe never. Who cares? I've got to go and defend Aqsa with the occupation. Because you're not defending anybody else, are you? You're not defending anybody else. You're not giving anything to anybody else. You can't even go and give money over there either. You can't give any money because it's just impossible for anything. the locals have been paralyzed. Everything's been paralyzed. The situation is, so at the very, very least, you'd be a pain in their neck, a thorn in their side, a thorn in their side. That's the most important message I want to say. I don't think there's more for it. I don't think there's more to say. I don't want to patronize any of you. You all know very well what the situation is. You all know that, just go, man. Don't make a song and dance about it. Just go. And you'll be surprised, people like me who have got all kinds of dirt. And, they'll question you and interrogate you, and you just straight up and say, listen, you're not doing yourself any favors. But that's up to you, your problem on the thing you want. I'm not here to do anything else other than a spiritual pilgrimage as a Muslim to Jerusalem. That's it. Keep it real. Don't try to hide anything. Blah, blah, blah. So maybe you'll get in, maybe you won't. Who knows? But the point is that don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of losing a bit of money. Don't be afraid of getting pushed around a bit. Don't be afraid, but don't be waiting for groups. Don't be waiting for me. Don't be waiting for your favorite any scholar or favorite speaker. Go. All right? Wouldn't say that for the other places. For Aqsa, I'm telling you, and I've been saying, ask all the people who've been with me for the years. I've been telling them that for years as well. Telling them that for years. Anyway, this started because I wanted to shout out my boy Bilal. Bilal Qad has a special place in my heart. And the reason his name came to my fore is that we were leaving today and the border is closed because of some attack. And then the next border, which is miles away, closed because of the scum, your cousins, they've got some holiday today. So we had to drive to flipping Egypt, bro. Today's been a mission, man. Pre-Fajr time, we've been on the road or been in action. And, Labib, mashallah, he's got back because he went via, got back to Luton. He didn't go via Jordan because we're off on the way to Umrah, inshallah. But I don't even think Labib knows this. I'm not even sure if you know what happened, Labib. But basically, we set off in the coach, luggage, this, that, whatever. And then after we set off, we realized that the actual border that we want to go to is closed. We had to offload all the luggage, and the plan is now basically staying now in Aqsa another night and having to change flights for, onward locations until someone comes through and says, actually, there's an option if you go to the border at Eilat and Aqaba and Wadi Araba, which is like this tripartite angle kind of nation kind of meeting point, Jordan, Egypt, and Israeli Authority. And it's basically drive to Egypt, but to the bottom, not across cheat easy. So what a mission. By the way, I'm pretty sure that the internet is really poor. I'm just going to have to bear with me. I'm really sorry. Okay. Massive mission, but it was all right, man, because it's your people's, right? We're doing Q&A. And the one sister goes, I've got to ask you a question. How do you do it? Like, you do this, do that. And how do you answer the question, view the classes, this, that, all kind of, guessing me up. I said, I said, you know how I do it? I tell you how I do it. I do it extremely badly. She goes, what? I go, yes, life source. I said, I do it very, very badly. I go, you think that I'm just winning at everything and whatnot, but I have an unbelievably amazing, easy life. My job is self-employed. My job is my own hours. I have teams in every aspect of my life. My wife is like on a different level, blah, 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 blah. And I have people like Bilal from LP who I don't even need to think about what I believe. I don't even need to think about what my opinion is. Whenever I want to know what my opinion is, I don't need to remember. I don't get any time to work on my memory. My Quran memory is horrible. My hadith, I'm forgetting everything. Fifth positions, I've got no idea. So I'll ask Bilal, what is it that is my position? He'll say, this is your position. I'll say, there you go. That's my position. I go, I'm not doing anything very well. I've got no time to work on myself or to get myself any better. And that made me laugh today, made them laugh in the bus. So I want to give a shout out to my boy Bilal. And on that note, Hafizahullah ta'ala wa ta'ala, and to all of the folks, and to those that are able to get into the transcription notes and remind me what I once used to hold. You know, alhamdulillah for Bilal, alhamdulillah for all of the LP students, all of the effort that's gone in. You know, we had the ladies retreat, and jokes aside, it was really nice to meet a lot of the people who have been involved in the transcription team for ages. And, you know, soon AI is going to make that not redundant, but it's going to take a lot of the headache away. But never forget the original people that set all this up, put all the hours in, and still putting the hours in. I mean, you have a look at Quranic progression. Boy, man, that's on fire. The notes and the LP, the transcription, and mashallah, teams, and LP, mashallah. So, you know, we never forget. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put it in the Mizan Hasanat, and all of them, Mason managing it, and all the original OGs, and all of the folks, and Maryam Ziani shouting out Bilal. But I tell you what I was doing the other day, Maryam. I was going through the media and I saw the photos that you used to do. Please restart that, because they are so good. Because every time I come across and I read it, I said, Ras, that's sick. And then I see my name at the bottom. I said, oh, shut up. Was that me? That is hilarious, man. I'm telling you, there is nothing more hilarious than reading something and saying, man, that's sick. And then realize it was you. Bro, that's a buzz. That's a buzz. That's a legitimate buzzatronics. Right. Guess what? It's time to shout out some people, bro, because we got the exam results. In the midst of all this drama, but I haven't even told you what happened to me outside. Well, I'm in now in a hotel room in Amman. I was in Aqaba today. We took a plane from Aqaba to Amman. My goodness, the worst decision ever. However, can we please have a moment's silence and put some love and respect on the champions of LP, the champions of the students, those who are brave and say, you know what, let's go and have a go at these exams. And we have a winner, and is none other than Widad Zaman from Orlando. MashaAllah, MashaAllah, Tabarak al-Rahman, MashaAllah. She got 95% clear, outstanding number one. Yeah, we got it that the Yanks are taking it again. But you know what? If they're going to put the work in, then Bismillah, MashaAllah, Zindabad. Well done. Widad, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you, include you. This is Widad Zaman, by the way, before you start thinking it's Widad Mizahi, right? No. I bet she didn't even take the exam. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. I don't want to make su'ul van. But this is Widad Zaman, okay? And she did great. This is Su'ad's sister. So congratulations to you. Well done. So she got 95 from the United States of Alternate Universe, isn't it? Trump lives in Alternate. We are going for a golden period where the strongest, he goes, I killed inflation. Oh, I killed inflation. What a custom, what a guy. Anyway. So well done, WID. Double AD. I like that she's unique in the double AD. All right. So that's with that Zaman. What am I doing? Yes, this is the perfect time to encourage people to join the transcription team. With that, by the way, Zaman, I think she does QP as well, right? Bro, these people are taking all the reward home. This class will start. I know that people are getting restless. Like, what the hell is this? But just give me my moment, okay? Just give me my moment, right? Second place, perennial top five. Perennial title contender, perennial competitor for the top title. Been there many times as well. So we're talking a reigning, we're talking a previous champion. This year came second, close though, bro. Our girl from Calgary, Sharmeen, 94%, mashallah, tabarakallah. And I feel sick that in the top 10, Actually, no, we did really. This is one of the first years that when the top 10 we represented, but top two went to North America. So Canada, Calgary took second place. But a special shout out to shared third place, two Brits and two boys, about time, Sahel and Umar Khan. Umar Khan always coming on every week, apologizing that he can't be here. What a guy. What a guy. What adab, man. Comes in, sorry, Ustaz, I can't attend it, but I'm going to check out. I'm going to keep up afterwards. And boy, does he keep up. Boy, does he keep up, mashallah. So he got 93, joint with Sahel. So they take the joint third place. So well done. Honorable mentions, Saqib Yani from the six. He did well in Canada, Toronto, 91. So there's three people in joint fourth. So our boy Taimur, and inshallah, I'm giving you a shout out. Big announcement. Almost definitely. I mean, it's a surprise announcement, but there's no surprises in LP. Fiqh Salah double weekend in person in London, November, second weekend, third weekend. Save the date. Be there or be in Alu Paratha. Be there, be square. It's going to be a madness. Going to be inshallah in Stratford. Not sure. Possibly Friday night, Saturday, Sunday, then the Saturday, Sunday afterwards. Back to the old days, proper knowledge, proper depth, proper behavior. And reason I mentioned that, because Taimur Khan is probably going to be arranging LP Roadshow, probably at Finchley, my guy. Hanifa, shout out to you. Well done. I am super impressed with you, Hanifa, okay? Because I think that this is one of your first exams, or you've not taken many and you got 91, which makes you joint fifth. And I'm supremely happy with that result, actually. Really? No, sorry. You're joint fourth, Hanifa. Even better. Hamza, well done. So Hamza came fifth and he got 90. And the reason I'm happy about Hamza, and I also want to shout out, Hamza, and I want to shout Shahzad Zia as well, who got 83%. The reason I want to shout out these two, what's the link? Anybody can tell me about Hamza Qureshi and Shahzad Zia, that these are two people who got the they did amongst the top 10, amongst top 15, and they are live attendees. And you know what I think about the live attendees in the masjid? They are absolute wastemen. Absolute wastemen. The worst students. They don't even know notes, revision, telegram, nothing. They just basically come for salah, cheeky salah. Let me just sit around here, whatever, laugh and a joke and take some of the guy's chocolate. Eat my chocolate. What's all that about? By the way, I got some chocolate. I got some good chocolate. Sauna or something? Canadian behavior? Right. So for people to get good marks when they're in the dars itself is something very, very special. I'm doing a lot of this, so I'm going to stop that. Right. So I'm just, listen, really happy. Really, really happy with these results. Like, genuinely, I'm so, so impressed. And I also want to give a shout out to Zara, because she's just had a little one recently. And that's our girl from Leicester. So shout out to you, Zara. And bit of Gucci love. And we need a bit of Gucci Ziani in the game. And just some great time. Bilal's there as usual. Dallas representing. Bro, Shams and Usama, the Asari crew are there, mashallah, 84 and 83. Milton representing. I don't know if Fizz is done, if Fizz is gone, but her husband, Yani, did well, mashallah. Nihad with 80. Sick. And then Muhammad Hamza. Bro, I'm happy. Jeddah, Yani, comes in with 79. There's some good marks, man. A lot of people took the exam. I'm just happy. Asif and Miser there. Hajj team for the win. Should that Slim gave it a go? Now, what I'd be really interested to know is that whether that's a real attempt or whether that's a blag. Abbas, you know what it is? Can I put some spike on Hajj 2025? Yani, from the alumni of Hajj 2025, Abbas Chowdhury. Shout out to Abbas, because he only started this year. He only started a couple of months ago. He's been taking the lesson from the beginning. And he said, you know what, I'm going to give the exam. He got an A mark, A grade. 69% is A. Exam folks, tell me that's the truth, isn't it? No way, Shaz. Shaz, I'll put spec on your name. I'll put spec on your name, son. Well done. But I want a lot of spec on Abbas Chowdhury. Hafidhahullah wa ra'ah. You know what? Living respect for you, son, because that is excellent. 69% starting LP, fully in, fully yani immersed in. That's awesome work, man. Yani, don't let's not do Saima's the best in Iskina. Let's leave Saima alone. Saima is, she's here for the vibes, as they say. That's what my daughter Iman would say. She's not really here. It's not about the exam, it's about the vibes, right? So I think that's about it. I've given you an account of the trip. I've given you a reason why I've been here, although mashallah, you guys have brought the energy back. You know, I was so dead in the beginning of this, right? I fell asleep holding the book, but waiting for the time here is 11 o'clock and it might as well be any 3 o'clock in the morning. I was that tired. But these exam results gave me energy. You guys gave me energy. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect you all, increase your knowledge, and accept it from you. Allahumma ameen. Let's get busy. Let's get at least half an hour of fiqh done, or a bit more, actually. So we were in the part of the text, brothers and sisters. I said last week, وَهِيَا بَابْ صَلَةُ الْعِيدَيْنِ وَهِيَا فَرْضُ كِفَايَةً إِذَا تَرَكَهَا أَهْلُ بَلَدٍ قَاتَلَهُمُ الْإِمَامُ وَوَقْتُهَا كَصَلَاةِ الضُّحَى وَآخِرُهُ الزَّوَالِ فَإِنْ لَمْ يُعْلَمْ بِالْعِيدِ إِلَّا بَعْدَهُ صَلُّوا مِنَ الْغَدِ وَتُسَنُّ فِي الصَّحْرَاءِ وَتَقْدِيمُ صَلَاةِ الْأَضْحَى وَعَكْسُهُ الْفِطْرِ وَأَكْلُهُ قَبْلَهَا وَعَكْسُهُ فِي الْأَضْحَى إِنْ ضَحَّى وَتُكْرَهُ فِي الْجَامِعِ بِلَا عُذْرٍ وَيُسَنُّ تَبْكِيرُ مَأْمُومٍ إِلَيْهَا مَاشِيًا بَعْدَ الصُّبْحِ وَتَأَخُّرُ إِمَامٍ إِلَى وَقْتِ الصَّلَاةِ عَلَى أَحْسَنِ هَيْئَةٍ إِلَّا الْمُعْتَكِفَ فَفِي ثِيَابِ اعْتِكَافِهِ. That's about all we're going to do. It is an Eid, the Eid prayer. It is a communal obligation and one that the leader will wage war over if a people abandon it. Its time is that of the Duha prayer and it ends at Zawal. If one doesn't know that it's Eid until after this time, they pray it the next day. It is a sunnah to perform it outside in an open area, to pray the Eid al-Adha prayer at an earlier time, and the opposite for the Fitr prayer, to eat before the Fitr prayer and to eat after the Adha prayer if offering a sacrifice. It is disliked to perform it in the mosque unless there is a legal excuse. It is a sunnah for those praying to leave early for it after the Fajr prayer, walking, whilst the Imam should delay his arrival until the time of prayer itself, or presenting themselves in the very best of fashion, other than for the one performing i'tikaf who arrives in the clothes he is already wearing. So that's the section that we're going to cover today. The last thing that we did last week is that I was all surprised and impressed with the whole idea that dates are actually a lot better than you might have thought. And they do not yani cause so much spiking in the morning. And so for the Eid al-Fitr prayer, we're talking about eating those dates, and we spoke about the fact that it should be three, and it's the only time that you have actually a witr number, so three dates. So that's done. We've got that yani in the bag, and then he went on to say, and the opposite is the case for Eid al-Adha. So Eid al-Adha is prayed first, and then you quickly then go and get the what's it called done. You get the sacrifice, the slaughter done. Okay, so no eating. You go and establish the prayer, and then you go and do the udhiyah. And this is also based upon the hadith of Burayda radiyallahu anhu wa ardahu. He said, "Kana Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam la yakhruju yawm al-fitr hatta yuftir." The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would not leave for the Eid prayer until he had broken his fast, and he would not eat from the sacrifice until he had prayed. That sacrifice meaning the day of sacrifice, yawm al-nahr, the day of slaughter, meaning in Eid al-Adha. This hadith was narrated by Imam Ahmad and Imam al-Tirmidhi. The reference for Imam al-Tirmidhi is hadith 542. And Sheikh Uthameen says that this is going to going to make it better and quicker for him to eat from his actual sacrificial animal, which is a sunnah to do. It's not just sunnah just to give the food away. You've got to eat from it, and it's Eid. You're celebrating. It's all about eating meat, isn't it? And Sheikh Uthaymeen said something very interesting. He said that according to some scholars, it is obligatory to eat from your udhiyah. It is wajib. Min al-udhiyah wajibun. Inda ba'd al-ulama. Why is that? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Hajj says, فَكُلُوا مِنْهَا وَأَطْعِمُوا. Yani, and eat from it and feed others as well. The feeding comes first as a priority, and then feeding others, that's one second. It's a fi'l amr. It's a command which indicates obligation. فَبَدَأَ بِالْأَمْرِ بِالْأَكْلِ. All right, started by the command. So therefore, it is better, Sheikh Uthaymeen says, فَالْأَفْضَلْ, yani that a person holds back from eating on the day of Eid al-Adha, Big Eid as we call it, until he quickly gets that udhiyah done, the sacrifice, and then he eats from it first, okay? Person might say, well, what's the reason that you would do the opposite for Eid al-Fitr? Why would you then eat in the morning? Because you would normally be fasting. Fasting was obligatory the day before, obligatory for the whole month. And eating straight away shows to yourself and to everybody that the obligation is done. Now, people might say, well, Eid al-Adha, you fast the day before as well, but not an obligation. Arafah, the day of Arafah, is not an obligation. It's a recommended fast. You don't have to. Whereas the 29th or 30th, the day of the Ramadan, the day before Eid al-Fitr, is an obligation to fast, an obligation. And this is this day is an obligation to break the fast. So that's an obligation, and today is an obligation. And both of them could look the same. In the morning, both could look the same. Because you're used to not eating, so you might say, you know, sack it, I'm not eating, I'm just going to go to the prayer, and then when I get a bit hungry later on, then I'll have a nice breakfast. Bro, yesterday was a obligatory fast and you weren't eating. Today is an obligatory day not to fast and you're still not eating. So we're going to artificially even break this kind of zone, if that makes sense what I'm saying. And so the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam really heavily emphasized that you have something even light, 3 dates, 5 dates, and in that morning before you go to the masjid. Okay? وَعَلَيْهِ فَلَوْ أَكَلَ هَذِ التَّمْرَاتِ. And so this is, as long as he does that before the before he goes to eat prayer, job done. And he also goes, وَعَلِهِ فَلَوْ أَكَلَ هَذِ التَّمْرَاتِ قَبْلَ أَنْ يُسَلِّ الْفَجْرِ. He goes, and even if this person is like, you know, I ain't got time, busy, you know, because, you know, people doing themselves up and I ain't got time to eat before leaving for the Eid prayer, even if this person eats it before the Fajr prayer, before the قَبْلَ أَنْ يُسَلِّ الْفَجْرِ حَصَلَ الْمَقْصُودِ. Yani, even before he prays the Fajr prayer, this is acceptable. Okay? This is acceptable. You might say, well, hold on, it's the night time. No, we're talking that the Fajr time has started, but before the prayer itself. So and the Sheikh Uthaymeen says, this is officially the daytime, so he's achieved what he's meant to. But he goes, there's no doubt that it's better to actually eat when you're going out, when you're leaving for the Eid prayer. Okay, the next thing that we need to discuss, وَقَوْلُهُ إِنْ ضَحَى. Yani, meaning that, and that's only if he's offering a sacrifice, which means and indicates, as some scholars said, that it is not obligatory to perform the qurbani or the slaughter, even though it is obligatory according to many, and it's sunnah according to others, and that the breadwinner of the house can do it on behalf of the rest of the family as well. So it doesn't have to be every adult has to offer one. But it is highly emphasized for every adult to offer one, especially if they have the means. But if they don't, then it is not obligatory, because the Prophet ﷺ has, in the hadith, offered the sacrifice and did say that this was on behalf of the ummah. And some scholars said this has removed the obligation, not only that it shouldn't be done, but the obligation for everyone. But we should, especially in the West, when we've got plenty of money, we should offer that a sacrifice. But then we got to also be clear here. A lot of people do it, you know, as an act of charity. And people need to understand that the udhiyah, the sacrifice, is not just an act of charity. It's a fundamental celebration in which kids have got to get involved, family got to get involved. You got to get involved. Everybody loves meat, man. Everybody loves meat. Everybody loves the endless meat. Everybody gets excited when you don't have to skimp on the meat. Normal life is skimping on meat, isn't it? Bro, my throat is absolutely gone. Look. And Jordan is so hot. It's nowhere near as hot as Medina. But my goodness. Right, anyway. So, you know, I've spoken about this before and I've written about this before, so I don't want to bore you. In summary, we don't treat Eid al-Adha with half the reverence and respect that we do. Many people go to work on Eid al-Adha. And you're moaning, Yani, that your kids, they only enjoy Christmas and Easter and they don't have a connection to Islam and Islamic identity. I mean, bloody, that's crazy. Eid al-Adha, our major celebration of the year. And you don't even make the attempt to get hold of an animal, get them involved. And the buzz of Yani cooking it fresh, Yani stick that behavior, cook Yani cut a couple of fillets out of that bad boy. Stop being such a flipping packy and cutting it all into small pieces and putting it into the flipping into the dig and making rice and a thingy. Cut a nice few steaks, give it to a proper butcher, give the guy 20 quid and make it into, cut me some nice steaks, stick it on the barbie, stick in air fry if you've got no time, stuff and blah. And you know what I mean? Let the kids be part of it and realize, Yani, what an amazing thing this is. It's so sanitized. Nobody gets involved. Oh, charity, let me pay for it abroad. We understand that sentiment. If you're going to be like that, then send one sacrifice abroad and then do one home, man. You got to get involved. Got to get the kids involved. It's a major part of our deen. It's a part of our identity. So anyway, Sheikh says, in Dhaha, meaning that if he's doing the Udhiyah, then he should not eat in the morning. But if he's not doing the Udhiyah, then he should then eat in the morning. Okay? Yani, meaning, it is now not legislated anymore if he's not offering the sacrifice for him to hold back from eating in the morning or to hold back from eating before the prayer. Rather, he has the choice to do so. And so if he then now eats before he leaves for the Salah, like he would in Eid al-Fitr, we're not going to say to him, oh, you've gone against the Sunnah. No, because he's not offering a sacrifice. Allah knows best. All right, next statement. وَتُكْرَهُ فِي الْجَامِعِ بِلَا عُذْرٍ. It is disliked to offer the prayer in a mosque. Okay, so you shouldn't be offering the masjid as a place for the Eid prayer. And Sheikh Uthaymeen says, according to our author, Imam al-Hajjawi, here, he's keeping it very vague in general, which would therefore mean that he means the same for Masjid al-Nabawi in Medina and Masjid al-Haram as well in Mecca and other big mosques in other places. Sheikh says, well, as for Medina, let me comment on that. As for Medina, then Medina is like every other place. It's a city like every other place, it's a town like every other place, and it's masjid is like every other place. And he goes, likewise, it is a sunnah for the people of Medina to go out to the Sahara, as we said, the open area, the desert, call it desert, but we said the outskirts, the open areas, and to pray the Eid prayer there. And this is the best action and the right thing to do, like the Prophet ﷺ used to do in Medina. And it is disliked to pray in the Masjid al-Nabawi, except if there's a legal excuse. Problem is, Sheikh Uthaymeen, I'm just quoting Sheikh Uthaymeen, he goes, the problem is that even until today, the people are still praying the Eid prayer in Masjid al-Nabawi, and I don't know why. He's disappointed. It's also, and you know why he's disappointed? Because the place that the Prophet ﷺ used to pray the Eid prayer is known to us, is out there. Now, yes, there's no space. The space there is not enough to have all the people. May Allah accept that as an excuse for the scholars and their authorities, because that's probably the only excuse they've got. Going out any further is going to be too difficult. But yeah, that's just Medina. He goes, as for Mecca, Sheikh Uthaymeen says, okay? He goes, as for Mecca, I do not know that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or any single person that was given authority over Mecca in a governor or minister role, classically he's talking about, I don't know any report that shows the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or all those leaders that came after him ever leaving the masjid and going out to the Sahara for the Eid prayer. Because of course it was prayed every time. But why is there no report to show that where it was prayed? actually it was prayed in the masjid, right? And Sheikh continues, he goes, and it's for this reason that the author of Ar-Rawd al-Murbi', okay, which is of course our sister kind of like commentary on Zad al-Mustaqni', yeah, classic Hanbali text of al-Buhuti, okay, he goes that that's why in according to some Hanbali scholars and senior ones in the madhab, they made an exception for the haram. They said that it is disliked to pray the Eid prayer in any masjid. You've got to pray outside. Hire a park, hire a field, go to the desert, hire a sports hall if you want, whatever. Get the people together, one prayer, unified, obvious, outside, show the signs. But for Mecca, in Mecca, you pray in the masjid. Why? 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 Because, and Sheikh says, the wisdom behind that, perhaps, وَلَعَلَّ الْحِكْمَةِ مِنْ ذَلِكَ وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ أَنَّ الصَّلَى فِي الصَّحْرَى فِي مَكَّةَ سَعْرَى. And my God, that is so obvious and true. He goes to pray outside in the outskirts in Mecca is just really difficult. And it is. There isn't, it's not like Medina, it's all flat and whatever, and then there's the you know, you just walk 5 minutes and you're dead. In Haram, in the Haram, Masjid al-Haram, it is valley, it is mountains everywhere, there is no open big space, there is no open outskirts, whatever, except far away. It would be the mother of missions to get the Ummah out there to this open areas, which you'd have to go, you know, miles for, okay? It would become too difficult to make the people go out. And for that reason, Salatul Eid is inside al-Masjid al-Haram itself. Sheikh Uthaymeen continues. He says, it is disliked to pray in the masjid without excuse, bila udhar. Okay? And therefore, if there is an excuse, then it's not disliked anymore. And that's basically UK, isn't it? I mean, we've got all the excuses in the world, bro. Rain, rain, and more rain. Although I heard that, mashallah, things are looking good at the moment. Huh? I saw Heba sent me a nice video today. Beautiful video, lovely skies, mashallah, sunny. This, that, whatever. I was like, wow, man, mashallah, good end to September. By the way, why have we not spoken about the heating? That's the last thing that I wanted to speak to you about. Because remember, a week ago, I was sitting there in Chiru and I wanted to speak to you all. And I wanted to challenge everybody who's going to hold out the longest. I guarantee, Shazad Salim put the heating on 2 months ago, by the way. In the middle of the heat wave, Shazad Salim put the central heating on. The central heating and the floor heating in Shazad Salim's house has gone on because Shazad Salim, that's how he rolls. On dentist money thingy last week. I don't believe that at all, Shaz. I don't believe it. Nadia, I believe in Scotland, that's cold. Shazad Salim, that's the last 2 months. You, of all people, walk around with your gilet 24-7, jumpers and sweatshirts in the middle of summer. You are all bones and freezing all the time. Absolute nonsense, not taking it. Anyway, I want to say that when I was coming out, UK last week, week before, we had the girls' retreat. I was freezing all the way through the retreat. I was freezing. The beds are so rubbish. By the way, when you come to the retreat, you're paying like 100 quid, 150 quid. Do not expect anything but the thinnest blanket in the world. You will freeze. And I froze the whole weekend. Dinku little blanket. And it's a tiny one made for kids. My goodness gracious. By the way, I just want to say the stress that ladies' retreat has totally, totally paralyzed us. And I think that we've gone back now to the situation of 10 years ago where the thought of, because if we now do the ones that we want to do, which is the men's ones, we know the women are going to be so upset and we just don't want that aggro of women being upset. So we're just not going to do it for anybody. Wallah, I can see it happening. Zafar Yani, the little rat that he is, he knew this was going to happen, knows what's going to happen. Shazad Salim is celebrating. He's like, mashallah, mashallah, right? Blah, blah, blah. But anyway, I just want you to know that we are paralyzed. Okay? Sabbatical. You know, the great thing about Shazad Salim, he's been waiting all his life to use that word in public and he still spelled it wrong. Okay? Still spelled it wrong. Listen, I can't believe all the girls are saying, I was so, you're flipping women. That's the only thing that women do. We're hot. Hot flushes, we're hot. Nobody cares about women. We're men, we're freezing. All women are all hot. Fellaini's like, I slept really well. I'm not surprised you slept very well. Marina slept really well. I'm not surprised you slept very well. We're not asking you. Okay, Nadia, I was fine in a retreat. Nobody cares. Hashtag literally, we don't ask you. We're men. So, back to the point at hand. I wanted to... Abdullah Khan's legend. I was like, I'm cracking here. And I nearly put the heating on. Then I said, no, I'm going to go out. I'm going to be away for a couple of weeks. Then I'm going to come back. Then I'm going to be dead anyway, because it's going to be so hot over here. And it is. When I go back, it could be 25 degrees and I'm going to be frozen. So then I'm going to put the heating on. Anyway, I just want to say shout out to those people who held on. And I just wanted, please, a couple of people, bring Yanni my faith back in humanity, and that Trump doesn't know what he's talking about, that we're not Yanni burning all the fuel and that we're making him sad. Please tell me that there are some people that have not put the heating on yet and that they're being tight packies like me and they're holding on. Please, give me some Yanni. Someone make me happy. Elias, you sick guy. Farida, nobody cares. Amira, nobody cares. We don't want any women thingy at all. No, Fatima, we don't want to hear from you because you're in the six and nobody cares. Okay? Nobody cares. Nobody. Okay, Dilshad. Okay, good. Okay? Hanifa, nobody cares because you're a woman. Dilshad is a woman and she's freezing in the house. So, Adil flipping flopped it. Flopped it. Flopped it. Flopped it. Anyway, I just think that there's two types of people. In my opinion, there are two types of people. Those who hold out until October and those who flop it. That's it. Ghufran, you legend. Ghufran, I always said you're a legend. Okay? Trump believes in many things, bro. Right. So, let's move on then. So, Sheikh says that the rain is an excuse, strong winds, or something that could happen, some fear, whatever. And for that reason, they can't go out to the outskirts. Maybe there's a security issue. And therefore, then they decide to pray the Eid prayer in a mosque. Eid prayer in the inner mosque. All right. Sheikh says, what's the evidence that it's disliked? Yani, how can it be disliked when you lot say, Yani is talking to the scholars, you scholars say that if you leave a sunnah, okay, if you leave out a sunnah act, not obligatory act, the only way it can be considered disliked is if there's an evidence. So what is the evidence that's making you say that this act has got a, dislike and attached to it? Sheikh says, إِنَّمَا كُرِهَ هَذَا. This act is disliked, to pray the Eid prayer in the masjid, because you miss out on a huge objective. The major objective is to advertise the ritual, this great ritual, and promote it, and the PR of it, and the optics of it. This is a massive objective in of itself, which is lost when you do it in the masjid. And this is something which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's intention. And this is something that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would do. And not just would do, but he would command to it, and he would command to it knowing that it's a mission. Knowing that it's a mission. I put to you that when we put on our Eid best, white, lovely pressed iron clothes, blah, 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 we get upset just walking from the flipping car park to the door of the masjid, right? The masjid car park. Imagine you've only got one nice set of clothes. That's how the Sahaba used to be. And they put on that, and then they're walking to the masjid, and they are walking out into this, sorry, not to the masjid, they're walking out to the musalla, the area that they're going to pray, and it's miles away, took a couple of miles, a couple of kilometers, walking, heat, sweating, dirt everywhere, no concrete, no pavements, no sidewalks, all through the mud, all through the eggs, all through the whatever, whatnot. Yani, this is difficult. Time, distance, cleanliness, don't have the luxury of soaps and irons and steamings and whatever, whatnot. And what I'm trying to say is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam putting the people to this much hassle and this much difficulty indicates how important the act is. وَهَذَا يَدُلُّ عَلَى الْإِنَايَةِ بِهَذَا الْخُرُوجِ. This indicates the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was really significantly concentrating on this act being something in the public domain. All right. To carry on. وَيُسَنُّ تَبْكِيرُ مَأْمُومٍ إِلَيْهَا مَاشِيًا بَعْدِ الصُّبْحِ. And it's a sunnah for the followers, meaning those that are praying the Eid prayer, to go early to the Eid prayer whilst walking, okay? Straight after Salatul Fajr, or after the sun has risen, as soon as possible, basically. Okay, that kind of after the sun has risen, on the condition that the musalla is close. On the condition that the musalla is close, like when it's a small village or town and you can just step out and there you are. And in our modern time, if the masjid is obviously being prayed in because there's an excuse, like we know, then we need to go early to beat the traffic and to get a good place. And you shouldn't be one of these people who are just going to rock up anytime. That's not good, okay? And Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, he said, it was narrated from about him, لا يخرج إلا إذا طلعت الشمس. He would not leave his house until the sun had risen. This hadith is narrated by Imam al-Shafi'i in his Musnad, page number 73, and Imam al-Tahawi in Sharh al-Mushkil al-Athar as well. So not from the main books of hadith, it's an athar anyway, a narration of a sahabi. لكن مصلى العيد في عهد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وفي عهد صحابة ابن عمر كان قريبا يمكن الإنسان. He goes, but we should be careful when we read this statement and not يعني think that we can do that or we can afford to do that, meaning wait until sunrise itself, because the musalla, the Eid prayer, Eid location, Eidgah, يعني as we call it in our Desi tongue, that area was very close in Medina. In the time of the Prophet, in the era of the Sahaba, and in the era of Abdullah ibn Umar. So it's not a surprise that he would leave for it after sunrise, because it takes 5 minutes to get there. So what do you think? Okay. Then Sheikh says, what is the evidence to establish the sunnah of leaving for the Eid prayer after the Fajr prayer? What's the evidence? Yeah, meaning going so early, so not waiting until sunrise, but going early after Fajr prayer. Number one evidence is the action of the Sahaba, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to leave for the Eid prayer when the sun would rise. Listen carefully. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would leave for the Eid prayer when the sun would rise. But when he gets there, the Sahaba are already there, which is an evidence, because they live next to each other, that they are leaving after Fajr prayer and not waiting until sunrise. So that's the first evidence that a person should do that. Second, this is a basic principle that you should be completing for good. And that's something which the companions were also always doing. And so to be first, to be the best, to be the strongest, to be the earliest is always an objective of every act of worship. And so, of course, this would fall into that category as well. That's number two. Number three, he says that when you reach the masjid and you're waiting, then this is like as if you're praying because of the hadith. Waiting for the prayer is like a person in prayer, which means that this prayer is continued, the person's continuously praying in a continuous act of ibadah. Number four, he comes early, he gets closer to the imam, and to be closer to the imam is the most rewarded place to be, and it's the most honorable place to be. That's where a person should be. Sheikh said, all of these four reasons that we've just given, all of these are independent objectives in the Sharia. We should be looking to achieve all of these things, okay? And then he said, walking. It is a sunnah to walk, not in a car, not on a donkey, not on a mule, not on a horse, neither on a camel, but rather as Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu narrated, he said, As-sunnah an yakhruja ila al-eid mashiya. The sunnah is to leave for the Eid prayer whilst walking. This hadith is narrated by Imam al-Tirmidhi, hadith number 530, and he considered it to be hasan. So inshallah is fair. Walakin, Sheikh says, but if there's some kind of legal excuse, then it is allowed. It is allowed to take a car or do something. For example, if a person's sick, etc., he's ill or he's got some illness, then it's no problem if he goes by car or some other means. But the sunnah is to walk, okay? بعد الصبح يعني after the morning prayer, Okay? So you shouldn't be going after Fajr is finished, after the sunrise. You should be avoiding that. You should be going after the prayer, meaning early. Now, person might say, hold on, in our community, how's that going to work? We've got five jamaats. You know why we don't. And so we say straight away, that's okay. First of all, the reason you've got five jamaats is because you don't have the ability to pray outside in one big one. Okay, so now you've got to pray in the masjid. Okay, masjid is too small. Okay, you need multiple congregations. How many? Need five. Every hour, 7 to 12, whatever. Okay then. So this hadith, you're telling me that I've got to go out after Fajr. I'm saying, listen, that's the sunnah. And it's always good to go to the first one. But if you know for a fact, because you've made the plan and you know that you're late on the game, you're not going to be able to make the first one. It's going to be too packed. And you make a decision to go to one of the later ones, then obviously, yani that's going to be a person that's going to go after sunrise. But in principle, you should go for the first one, earlier one. These are the safer prayers or versions of the prayer that you should go to. Okay? And Sheikh also says, and also it's risky to be delaying things because he just runs the possibility of being late, and being late means that you missed the jama'ah and you shouldn't pray the Eid prayer on its own. In fact, it's haram to intentionally delay and miss the Eid prayer in congregation. What's the evidence for all of this, by the way? The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, sorry, beg your pardon, not the evidence for that. So now the author says, وَتَأَخْرُ إِمَامٍ إِلَىٰ وَقْتِ الصَّلَاةِ. As for the imam, he delays. Okay, so we go early, imam delays. Evidence being that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would leave for the Eid, for awwal shay yabda bihi as-salah. The hadith is narrated by Imam al-Bukhari, hadith number 956. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would leave for the Eid prayer, and the very first thing that he would do is to start the prayer, meaning that he would go there, he would not sit down, he would not attend, he would not chat, he would not do personal things or anything like that. He wouldn't sit down, he'd jump straight into the prayer and establish it straight away. Okay? And likewise, we say the same thing for Jum'ah. Sheikh says, this is the last paragraph, Sheikh, we'll take some questions. He goes that, we said the same thing, that the sunnah for the imam is to delay a little bit. And just to come right in the time for the khutbah, bam. He goes, as for what some of the khatibs do and imams do, okay, who come early, he goes. So you've got some imams who come early, and the reason they come early is because they want to also get the reward. This is a really good point. They also want to get the reward of being early to the Jummah prayer, which is a big thing because Jummah prayer is tough. And if you're coming on, if you're coming there early, then you know the hadith, مَنْ رَحَ فِي السَّاعَةِ الْأُولَى فَكَأَنَّمَا قَرَّبَ بَدَنَا. That whoever comes in the first hour, meaning early morning, to the Jummah prayer, so you're basically getting there 4 or 5 hours early, 6 hours early even, it's like he sacrificed a camel, meaning that's like, major good deed. Hadith Bukhari 881. This is what they want. فَهَؤُلَا يُثَابُونَ عَلَى نِيَّتِهِمْ وَلَا يُثَابُونَ عَلَى عَمَلِهِمْ لِأَنَّهُ خِلَافَ هَدْيَ النَّبِي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Let's look at this. He goes, so these imams that come, these khatibs who come early, in emulation of this hadith, he goes, they'll be rewarded, but they will be rewarded only because of the intention, not because of their action. Because their intention was correct to get the reward, but their action was different to the action of the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet ﷺ, as the one who said this hadith, taught us this principle, still is the last person to attend Jummah. Why? Because he's the imam. That's what you got to know. So if you're an imam, or a khatib, you're doing that, and you come early because you say, oh, I want the extra reward, we'll say to you, that's nice intention, well done, son, but not done enough. And the actual people that got it right is those that recognize that, nope, I don't come early, I come late. Okay? Late, quote unquote. Right? And this is because the action is not in line with the Prophet ﷺ. It's against his guidance. And the Prophet ﷺ in the Jum'ah prayer, in the Maya, to the khutbah. Because he's given the khutbah, he just comes straight in and يستبلش بخطبة، ولو كان هذا من الخير لكان أول فاعل له رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. If this was something that was a good thing, well, you don't think the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم spent hours in the masjid, hours in ibadah, hours before anybody else? And so if this was meant to be an act of ibadah, he himself would be there. He himself would come early and make the dhikr and salah and everything. And there's also a logical argument to be made here. And this is the last line. And the imam yuntadhar wa la yantadhar. Yani, be logical. The imam is the one who is waited upon. He is not the one who waits. He's waiting for who? He's the one who's flying it. What are you waiting for? Yeah? For the people are waiting for him. Amma huwa fala yantadhar al-nas wa idha ja'a al-shar'at fisla. So he's the one that doesn't wait for anybody. Soon as you come, start the prayer. Alright? And that, brothers and sisters, is a successful lesson in which I did a lot more than I thought I would. Right, let's do some questions, guys. Zainab, because you're a legend, bro. Yani, holding out in Scotland, that's the flipping legend behavior. My boy Shahan says, if it's not held outside and it's in a masjid, would you walk to Fajr and get the reward? Would you walk to Fajr and get the reward if you just stay in the masjid following Fajr, waiting for the first Jama'ah? I think that if a person wanted to ensure that this was the only way to get it done, then I think that he gets that reward. I do. What exactly as you said. Qamar says, you mentioned previously that it was best to pray Eid al-Fitr late, so to give out the Fitrana, and Eid al-Adha early, so to do the Zabiha. Is it then better in the West to attend a later Jama'ah for Eid al-Fitr and the first Jama'ah for Eid al-Adha? I think that that's the case if you are offering a sacrifice, as we said. That last statement has that point of the caveat of if you're offering a sacrifice. If you're not offering a sacrifice, then it doesn't really matter. Okay? Yani, the sunnah is kind of like then adjusted. If Eid Salah is prayed in a masjid, do you still pray to hit al masjid? Yes. If it's offered in the masjid, then you've got to respect the masjid. But no, it's not meant to be, and so they shouldn't be. Okay? Where was another? Okay, guys, you know what? If I have not answered your question, please. Eid al-Adha, Ghufran asks, for those not sacrificing and eating before the prayer, is it the same as fitr to eat whichever number of dates or under bread? Under bread, you sick guy. Yeah, it is a sunnah to eat dates across the board. That's every morning, let alone, in the Eid mornings. So if that was the case, then yes, person should eat dates, but that's under the general cop-out of eating dates anyway. And as Shahan rightly says, who eats dates? Everyone eats samya. Samya. Should we prioritize the early Jama'ah in the masjid or the later one outside? The later one outside. The later one outside, because that's the sunnah. Okay? Folks, I'm going to call it there. Jazakumullah khair. Number one, make every effort that you can to visit Masjid al-Aqsa. Don't wait for groups. Number two, big news coming soon. Please don't spread it though, because I'll get really cussed badly. Okay? It's not, you can't do anything. You can't book. You can't whatever. I'm just telling you in advance, just keep those weekends open, because I don't know when that happens again. It's going in London. Should it happen in Manchester? It should. Could it happen early 26? I hope so. I wouldn't kill yourself if you were in Manchester. Okay? But for the rest of the country, difficult to see this happening. London, second and third weekend, fiqh salah in person. Don't let people know, because this is meant to be the surprise announcement in the Fiqh al-Malud class, which I've destroyed it, haven't I? Anyway, the third thing, shout out to all the people keeping it real, holding it down. Please, if there's anyone that can help us with the AI, nobody, and it took any thingy. Shazad Salim, obviously, in and out of the lesson, eating, chilling, not caring one little bit. I said, lpnotetakers@gmail.com. Misa, living in a daydreaming. She's had daydreaming. I say these things so someone can flip and write it down. You know what they say? If you want a bloody job, do it yourself. Is that cold now?
Nice and hot.
How's it nice and hot, when you're going to be 17 years later? Why would they be able to recognize it? This, my brothers and sisters, is Habiba Sweets. Oh, it's got that mirror thing so you can't see it. Habiba Sweets is meant to be the world's best kanafa. We are about to find out whether there's any truth to that claim. Anyone if you want to help out with the AI and sorting out the notes and or even in the transcription team, and you know, just a great work. And Shakila, I hope you're good. It's always good to see you, man. Always good to see you, and always good to see everybody else as well. Barakallahu fikum wa jazakumullah khair. I'm now going to go and sleep. Yeah, you know what they said? They said as I came down, this is the place where the Ashabul Kahf yani were sleeping. Okay? I said, then write me up, sign me up from the Ashabul Kahf. Ya Allah. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa barakallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.